One aspect of biblical theology is seeing themes that run through the Old Testament and into the New Testament. Now, sometimes we see those themes developed over several occasions, several passages, and other times we see just a glimpse in hindsight of what God was doing to point to Jesus. I'd like you to get your Bibles. Pause the video. Go read John chapter 6 to yourself. John chapter 6. You'll love it. John 6 begins with the miracle of feeding 5,000 people with only 5 little loaves and 2 little fishes. Then Jesus walks on water, and it continues into what's called the bread of life discourse. So pause the video. Go read all of John chapter 6. Go ahead. You haven't paused the video. You're still listening to me talk. You ought to be listening to you talk. Go thou rightly forth and readeth John 6. Okay. Assuming you've done that now. It's pretty awesome. Keep your Bible open and let's see how Jesus points back to the Old Testament to show how God's got a plan to save his people. Now it starts with Jesus, that one true God in the flesh, showing he cares by miraculously feeding this massive crowd. So remember, everything that happens after that is a result of that miracle, and Jesus has orchestrated the whole thing, right? The object lessons, the sermon he's about to preach, all of it's premeditated by Jesus. And so when the miracle of feeding 5,000 is done, there are 12 baskets of food left. Don't picture big bushel baskets, right? Picture little lunch pail size baskets. And Jesus tells the 12 disciples, each with their own little lunch pail basket, to get in a boat and leave. And so he leaves them with some food and some food for thought. Meanwhile, the crowd's getting a little bit antsy because they like this heavenly welfare program. Verse 15 says they were ready to take Jesus and make him king by force, right? You are going to be what we want. Instead, Jesus leaves, and then he walks on water, goes out and finds the disciples' boat. So, okay, sunrise the next morning. They've left that ungrateful, unruly crowd far behind, but verse 24 says the crowd follows them. Now, are they following because they love Jesus with their heart and soul and might? No, Jesus even says in verse 26, they're following for the wrong reasons. Not because they've heard the word and saw the miracles that confirm the word, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. And this is where the scene turns strange. The people who just saw him miraculously feed 5,000 people look at him in verse 30 and ask, well, why don't you give us some kind of sign? Now, they aren't just asking for any sign. They think they're so clever. Listen to what they say. John 6, starting at verse 30. They said, therefore, unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. What sign do they want? They want more food. They're being sneaky by asking for a sign and then bringing up Moses and how the children of Israel were given manna, right, miraculous food to sustain them in the wilderness. And they're saying, you know, give us bread every day like Moses did. And Jesus says in John 6, 32 and 33, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. And the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world. Right? Moses didn't give you that bread. God gave that bread. And God has given an even better bread from heaven. Verse 33, he says, the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven. The bread that God has provided to sustain his people now is a person. He which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They didn't get it. They're still thinking with their appetite. So they say in verse 34, Lord, evermore give us this bread. They're so thick-headed, Jesus has to spell it out for them in verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. Now, I know we're skipping a lot, but you read it all, right? They're actually going to get annoyed with Jesus. They start in verse 42 by saying, like, this is Joseph's kid. What is he talking about? What is he? Who does he think he is? And so look at verse 48 through 51. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. They're willing to make a very unwise exchange. They want to essentially settle for manna. They want fed some more miracle bread. Jesus is telling them anybody who ate manna still died. It didn't keep them alive forever. But I'm the bread of life that you eat thereof and you'll never die. And yet they're willing to trade an eternity of life-giving Jesus for another lunch of barley loaves. In verse 41, he even tells them he's going to, verse 51, that he's going to give his flesh for the life of the world. But this is the last straw for some of them. They're so appalled at the imagery of consuming Jesus' flesh. And Jesus knows it. Remember, this is premeditated by him. He has no interest in being followed around for the rest of his ministry by people who don't want him, but just want his handouts. So he intentionally offends them. Verse 54, whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, is Jesus saying that you literally have to eat his body and drink his blood? No, that is Roman Catholic and even Reformer theology. That's their view on the Lord's Supper. But Jesus is not talking about the Lord's Supper. That's not happened yet. And so that wouldn't make sense to anybody. Jesus is even going to explain to his disciples in verse 63 that the spirit makes alive, the flesh profits nothing, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Right? So you need to remember, in this context, John 6 is not looking forward to the Lord's Supper. It's looking back on Moses and manna. And you have to keep that in mind. And it's that idea that we need to focus on. If you lived as a child of God in the wilderness wanderings, you ate manna. You had it for breakfast. You had it for lunch. You had it for dinner. That is what God provided for you. And that was all you had to sustain you. It was your everything. You were completely, entirely reliant on that manna to live. If you're a child of God living in the world today, Jesus is your manna. He's your bread of life. He is what God's provided. And you are entirely reliant on him. And he's better than the manna in the wilderness because the people who ate that manna still died. But when you have Jesus, you live forever. He's all you have. He's your everything. Jesus doesn't have interest in people who come to him like these ones did because they're interested in a little bit of what he's got to offer. You have to love him for everything that he is, his entire being. You love him with everything you are, your entire being, is the Hebrew prayer, the Shema begins, and all your heart, and all your soul, and all your might. And you do that because he is everything you've got. Like it's a difficult following, and I'm certain that none of us follow it perfectly. But unfortunately, it causes some people to just walk away. Verses 66 and 67 tells us that the crowd left, not just the crowd, though, many of the people who called themselves disciples of Jesus also left. And they just kept walking away until Jesus turns to the 12 disciples and asks them, will you also go away? Right? Are you also going to leave? But listen to their answer, verses 68 and 69. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that you are that Christ, the Son of the living God. We've got nothing else. We've got nowhere else to go. We've got nobody else to turn to. Like manna in the wilderness, Jesus is the bread of life, and he is all that we've got that will sustain us.